when you start treating your business as a business, you can start asking those higher level questions. Does this expense move my business forward? You know, is this what my business needs right now? You know, and then it kind of takes the emotion out of it, because a lot of like purpose driven, you know, heartfelt entrepreneurs, like we want to be able to do all these things and help all these people. But it really comes down to like, is this what's best for my business?
Today's guest turned her first accounting job at age 15 into a mission-driven business that helps small business owners not just survive, but thrive. Megan Schwann is the CEO and founder of Sidekick Accounting Services, a mom of four, a coach, and a true sidekick entrepreneurs can count on to decode their numbers and create profitable freedom. Megan, good morning. Welcome on Behind Their Success podcast.
Thanks for having me, Caden. Excited about this conversation.
Absolutely, Megan. So tell us who Megan Schwann is, kind of just your origin story and about your business a little bit.
Yeah. So I guess, like you said, my journey into accounting started when I was 15. I got an internship at a company, but it also started in high school when I was taking accounting 101. And I just kind of had a teacher that was like, hey, you have a knack for this. Think you maybe should think about making it a career. And then I got pregnant when I was 16. So it was really like, okay, you know, what can I do to support myself and my daughter? And I figured accounting was something I was good at. There's lots of options in the field of accounting. So it seemed like the right path to go on. So I went to school and got my bachelor's in accounting. During that time, I was working and met my husband at the time. And then when I graduated, shortly after that, we got married and I had my youngest. And during that time, I was working full time as an accounts payable at a manufacturing company and decided to not go back to work when after I had him. So I got a job as a bookkeeper at a landscaping company part time, mostly from home. And then my full time job called me back. The person they hired to replace me wasn't working out. So they set up a part time position I could work from home. So basically was working two part time jobs from home for about 2 years. And then I got laid off of both of those jobs within like a month of each other. So it was like, OK, well, now what? And I was doing taxes on the side for family and friends at that point. So I just kind of figured, I was doing bookkeeping for that landscaping company. I could probably do it for other companies, started networking. And now almost 12 years later, I have Sidekick Accounting and 9 employees and work with clients across the US. And it's been almost 12 years. So.
Wow. Well, yeah. And, you know, Megan, you have a powerful story there, right? Having a child at a very early age, right? And, and the struggles and challenges that that can bring on. Can you kind of speak to that? You know, some people would see that situation and think, hey, you know, she has all the challenges in the world. And other people would see that situation and think, well, now she's got every reason to succeed, right? And push herself. Yeah. But can you kind of speak to the struggles of a young mom and starting a business, right? Like, that's something I don't know anything about.
Yeah, it was definitely, well, when I was a teen mom, you know, that was definitely one thing. And that was, I was very fortunate that my family was very supportive and our church was really supportive. I think if they hadn't been, it would have been a lot harder. But they were. And like you said, you know, it kind of was for me, I was kind of heading down a bad path, and really having my daughter actually kind of saved me from poor choices. You know, like it made me feel like I needed to be more responsible and step up and, you know, really create a life. So that definitely helped a lot, you know, with that. Then I started, you know, college shortly after I had her and, you know, got my degree. And that was a whole thing too, trying to work and balance that. But yeah, definitely having the support and encouragement was really helpful. And then when I started my business, you know, I was married and had two young kids then at that time. And it was really more just out of necessity. Like we needed two incomes in our family and I wanted to still be present for my kids. And so it just kind of seemed like that was the right option. And I did actually go back to work for a little bit part time after I started my company. And then I did that for about a year. And then I was able to quit that job and go full time in my business. So we've been full time in my business now for 10-ish years, 10, 11 yeah. years now, yeah. which has been a big blessing.
Yeah, 100%. You know, the interesting thing, you know, the timing of that is similar to my story. Mine was about 2014 and there too. So somewhere right in the same time frame. And, you know, interestingly enough, I had two daughters and probably year two and or say year three and year four of my business. So I was, you know, running around, you know, a young business the first 5 years, there's all kinds of messes and stuff going on and trying to grow there. And I had two young kids at the same time too. So I can certainly understand the challenges there. But the interesting thing is too, is like, to me, like it was much more motivating. You know, people they say the kids take a lot of your time and in some ways that kind of holds your career back. But to me, they're every motivation to get as good as possible. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's definitely been a big drive behind my why too, is definitely my kids and providing for them. And actually a few years after that, I had an unexpected separation. And actually before that I had two more babies. I have four kids altogether. Had two babies back to back and then unexpectedly separated and divorced my husband. So it was a lot of things all at the same time. A few years after that, we moved across the country. But all of that was, I was able to do those things and I was able to make quick decisions quickly because of my business, because I had built it to where it was sustaining and supporting me and I was able to still be there very present for my family, but still able to, you know, make those decisions and move and, you know, all the things related to that. So that was a really cool thing. And that's the other part of my why now, is like my family is definitely a big part of my why. But my other part of the why is like really helping business owners be able to make those same kind of decisions, like have options, is what I always like to say. If you have a successful and sustainable business, you now have options. If your family has something that comes up, now you can be present, you know, more present for them. You can take a step back. You can, I know one of our clients, you know, built her business and then she took a year off because she just had a lot going on, but she was able to do that because she had what she needed, you know, and she had created a business that was sustainable. And we've had other clients that stuff has come up, you know, family, physically, you know, mentally, whatever it might be. And they've been able to make adjustments and choices and step back a little bit and let their team kind of come in because of building a business that was successful and sustainable. So that's kind of the other side of the coin, if you will, why we do what we do.
So let's jump into that, Megan. Yeah. Passion around numbers and finance. I love that. The world definitely needs as many people like you as it can, because I see the same message you see all the time. Right. Yes. Of just entrepreneurs not necessarily being organized, certainly not having great financial reporting to, one, you know, do their taxes and report the stuff to government, or two, maybe even more important, is to be able to make business decisions, having good information. So can you speak to the importance of that and just kind of how you guys maybe helping
someone? Yeah, absolutely. I always like to say that your decisions are reflected in your numbers, whether you know them or not, know it or not, right? Mm-hmm. So the more you can pay attention to your numbers, the more you can look at, you know, spend time with them and understand them, the better you're going to understand how your decisions affect your business and your profitability and your success. So we help people with that. Basically, we help with bookkeeping, getting the numbers in order. We're also a certified Profit First firm, which is a cash flow management system and methodology, which really helps, I think, bridge the gap between your monthly reports and what happens on a day-to-day basis, because now all of your money has a purpose and a place and you're proactively planning for different parts of your business and a lot of the pain points business owners experience. So we help with that piece of it. And then we also do some taxes and tax planning as well, because all of those pieces matter and ultimately impact the success of an organization. And we primarily work with clients between like startup and 3-4 million in sales, because I feel like though that's like the sector of business that sometimes is underserved, it's undereducated. And I just have a really big passion for helping people be successful, like no matter what level they're at. So we focus a lot in those areas, and our services have a lot of that support and education behind them as well. So a lot of times we're teaching our clients what KPIs are and which KPIs they should look at, you know, and what profit margins are. Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, how to use those numbers to make better decisions. And I always like to say, you know, like big companies spend a lot of time on their numbers. Like my dad's a VP at a you know, a fairly bigger company. It's in the $20 million range. And they spend like 3 days each quarter on their numbers and on strategic planning. So I'm just like, you know, your numbers are important. And the more you can lean into it, the more you can understand it, the better business owner you're going to be. And ultimately, the better decisions you're going to make, right? It's kind of like learning from other people's mistakes, or, you know, not making the same mistakes. Like, you have to be aware of what's happening and why it's happening if you want to make better decisions. And it all goes back to your numbers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. And what is it? I'm going to butcher the stat, but it's something like 90% of small businesses don't make it 5 years or something like that. Right. And you're right. You're serving the market from like, you know, 3 million and under. That's 99.9% of businesses, right?
Right.
And I say this a lot, and it never ceases to amaze me how unorganized multi-million dollar businesses can be. And
yes.
Right. And not being on top of those things, not being able to know. And what, or just going back to the stat of saying that most businesses fail in the first 5 years, it's cash flow. That's the problem, right? They fail because they're not making enough money or whatever, but ultimately the cash is not coming. And not having a line of sight to that is a major issue, right? Especially if you're in some kind of complicated business with inventory, or you got job costing or whatever that is,
right?
You have cash flow issues to where you can even be super profitable and still not have any cash to pay your bills.
Right.
You can be super profitable and not have the money to actually operate. Can you speak to some of those struggles and how you guys, solve that? Really?
Yeah. So mostly when it comes to like our profit first services, because we get the cash flow management system in place, but then we really start to dig into what we call profit points in business, which is things like accounts receivable and your pricing and your culture development and your hiring processes, like all these different things that actually affect profitability that a lot of times people don't realize, but we help dig into that. So I know we had one client kind of in a similar situation where she's profitable, but she was always like struggling when she was trying to pay her contractors. So when we started working together, one of the things we looked at was just like her timing of things. And she was billing her customers like in the middle of the month or at the beginning of the month, and paying her contractors in the middle of the month. And so like anytime she got to that point, she was like, oh, it's really tight here. And so what we did was we changed it. So instead of her billing once a month, she was billing her clients twice a month. And then we eventually switched to paying her contractors twice a month also, so that when the money was coming in was kind of when it was going out. And so just a small shift like that made a huge difference to now where she's, you know, paying people and has things like she's not struggling. And that happens so often where people just, you know, they don't realize that just these small tweaks can make such a huge difference. Same thing with pricing sometimes is like, that's the issue is like you have money that's coming in, you know, but it's not enough. Your margin's not big enough to like cover everything else. And so like taking a look at where the money is going, but, you know, also taking a look at like, are you pricing correctly, you know? And it can be just, you know, maybe even not like a 1-2% difference of, you know, pricing change or a couple dollars or whatever it might be, but that ends up impacting your profit margin by like 5-10%. So it's really incredible how just like little tweaks on things can really make a huge difference. But again, you got to pay attention, you gotta like look at your numbers. And sometimes people don't know where to start, which is where we usually come in, so that we can help kind of like, okay, well, this is what's happening. These are the things to look at. And that's the part I really love, because I get to take my own journey as a business owner and like the things I've had to learn and grow and, you know, understand it to grow my business. And then also help you know, my clients and, you know, all of the hundreds, probably thousands of clients at this point that I've worked with, and just kind of the experiences I've gained from that even, and just be able to use that to help people continue to be successful. So I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, Megan, yeah, I love, and your passion comes through on it, which is, and the beautiful thing about being like an accountant, like both of us are, is that, we do get to see a million different businesses, right? And get to see the insides of how they all work. And gosh, I don't know how many income statements and balance sheets I've seen. Yes. Thousands of businesses, right? And the cool thing is, we do get to, you know, and I'm sure you've gotten really good at this over the years. It's like spotting patterns. And while financial, you know, the financial lane is like your lane, but like you're also like, the financials will tell you the story of a whole lot of what is broken or what's not working.
Right.
Whether it's margins or your marketing spend or whatever, it tells it, right? The language of business, it really tells the story of what's going on.
Yeah,
and it's really cool when you proactive professionals like you, which I'm passionate about this, because often I think accountants' business models are pretty broken and they're not proactive in the slightest and actually helping business owners figure out stuff. The cool thing is about mine and your experiences, we've seen so many businesses, we have the ability to help tweak them in a lot of lanes other than just taxes and finances, just giving them a lot of just kind of general business advice, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Are you looking for a new tax experience? Looking for an advisor that actually brings you high-level ideas and proactively plans so you aren't overpaying your taxes? Or how about one that even just responds and communicates in a timely fashion? If any of that resonates with you, you probably just have a tax preparer and not a tax planner. And it is through the tax planning process where all the value is found. And when tax planning is done right, it has a positive return on investment. I'm Peyton Squires. I'm a CPA and owner of Squires Tax Planning. We work alongside entrepreneurs and high income earners, helping them pay the least amount of income taxes, both legally and ethically. We have saved our clients hundreds of thousands of dollars through specific strategies, and we guarantee we can find multiple tax strategies that your current tax preparer hasn't told you about. If that interests you, head over to squirestaxplanning.com. There you can take our free assessment to see how likely it is that you are overpaying on your income taxes. From there, you can also book a free tax discovery call with our team to see what it would look like to have us working for you.
So when you're looking at a lot of different situations, Megan, right? Like what could you tell me a few just common problems you see business owners have, and then maybe just practical solutions of how they would solve that?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess the first one that I would say is people don't always treat their business like a business. And what I mean by that is commingling funds is like a big, you know, first thing. So people have business and personal, you know, stuff still coming out of the same account. That's like a big no-no on the tax side and for compliance reasons. Yeah. Definitely cringe. And I'll have people, you know, I talk to and I'm like, okay, I know you didn't know better, but now you know better. So you need to fix this, you know? So that's definitely like the first thing. And, you know, if that's anybody listening, like, don't feel bad about it, but just like go to your bank and make a new bank account and start putting your business, like pulling in and business in and outs out of that one account, because that's definitely like a big thing. But I think it also kind of helps with mindset. And I'm a big believer of like mindset makes a huge difference when you're a business owner. And so just starting to treat your business like its own entity, like its own thing, makes a big difference in how you show up as well. Same thing with like paying yourself. Like people are like, oh, I can't pay myself. You need to pay yourself something. And in my opinion, you need to do it on like a schedule. So even if it's $100 a week or, you know, whatever you can like afford, you want to make sure that you're doing it on a more consistent basis, because that also is like a mindset shift that ends up happening as well. So that's definitely one of the big things.
Yeah. When you talk about owner pay there, I think that's huge, right? That kind of, to me, goes back to what you were saying even before that of like, it's a separate entity. Your business needs to stand on its own without your free labor. Right? So the business needs to operate and be profitable on its own. And that means if you're working in it, you need to get paid, because the business needs to be designed in a way that like you could replace yourself, right? With a another employee, theoretically. Right. But I've seen so many small businesses do that kind of stuff, or I see people run out and open a retail boutique. I don't know how many boutiques I've seen in my life. It's a, you know, it's usually a young woman, great, great ideas, you know, excited about doing the boutique thing, but they maybe haven't done any of this kind of thought process of like, right, how much in sales do I even have to keep the doors open?
Yeah.
And what margins do I need? And like, what's my overhead going to be? And if I know my margins and I know my overhead, well, okay, I can back into like my break-even sales. And if you actually did that math, is it even practical?
Right. Yeah.
And so it
makes sense.
Yeah. So any business can be kind of figured out because there's a lot of different variables you can move around and whatever. But I highly suggest figuring that out before you put down a rent deposit and open up, you know, or retail stuff if you actually know what's possible.
Right. And that's probably one of the other, you know, things or mistakes that people make is like jumping into things too quickly. Like one of the things that we do when we first start working with our clients is go through all of their expenses and we go through it and say, okay, does this expense have a purpose or an explanation is what I always like to say. Yeah. Is it moving things forward? Is it something that you were like, oh, shiny penny, I want this, you know,
and
this sounds good.
Exactly.
You know, and just kind of like you're paying for these things you're not really using or utilizing, or it's not the right time. We had one client that we did this with, and one of the things that she bought into was an SEO like package or campaign, which is great. SEO is great and it's important at different stages of business. But for her, like she was so new to her business that she didn't even really know who she served, exactly what type of products or services. Yeah, right. Like she wasn't ready for an SEO package and she like acknowledged that. But you know, so often like that's what happens is like, okay, you buy into something and you're like, oh, you know, I'm not even really using this. And then you get, you know, kind of bad feelings about whatever it is. And it's really not that their fault or, you know, whoever you're working with, it's really just because you weren't ready or you didn't have the capacity to really maximize whatever that investment was. So like, I always encourage people and even myself, because I've definitely done that.
For anybody running a business, like, it's very easy to fall into that trap.
It is very, very easy to fall into that trap. But I was like, charge to tell people now is like, just, you know, kind of take a day or something, like, think about it, look at your finances, look at like what it is, and then make sure you're like understanding the expectations with whoever you're working with too. Like, what is the ROI, the return on investment that you're going to be expecting to see, you know, and kind of hold your contractor or person or partner, collaborator accountable to those things as well. But you got to be really clear on that before you like pull the trigger too. So I think that's definitely something we see a lot of people buy into, especially this past year. We've had quite a few clients that ended up in debt because of something they purchased or they went into and then they never got an ROI from it. And so it's just like, you don't want to do that. I'm kind of a bigger believer in bootstrapping, which basically just means, you know, you have the money saved and put it in the bank before you say yes to something, because it just, you're not going into debt. You're kind of making sure that you are thinking through it first.
Kind of like, you know, you've built the foundation before you really expand.
Yeah.
It. Like, and
exactly.
And like I said, entrepreneurs, you know, listeners that are business owners are leaning that way. That personality type is very attracted to the new shiny penny, right? Like, you don't jump. And I think most people's business owners' problems is that they're just distracted all day. Like, if they actually focus, they have very many problems. But so it's like a big part of being successful in business is saying no, and saying no to good things, like things that you could theoretically execute on and do well, but like, you can't do everything well. And you certainly shouldn't be looking for all these things to bolt on and whatever and all these fancy things if your business isn't already profitable in a really good place, right? You build that foundation, get your business really tweaked in, and then you can start, okay, let's try adding something one at a time here and see how that happens. Because then I'll have the capacity to actually execute.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And that capacity thing is like a big deal, because it's like, if you buy into something, but you need to spend 5 hours on it or 10 hours on it a week to really get out of it, which you're paying for, and you don't have that, like, and you can't delegate pieces out. Yeah. Like, you're just basically throwing money to the wind. And it's like, well, that's not really
That's just digging the hole deep, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. Like,
and believe me, this is something a lesson I've learned and I've read.
Oh, I have too. Sure. I'm speaking to the choir here.
I've been beat multiple times over the head with this thing. And yes. As a guy right now, we're in the beginning of the fourth quarter of 2025. I've spent the last 2 weeks doing all this stuff that we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
Of like, okay, I'm already thinking, okay, Q1 2026, what does this all look like? Right.
Right.
And going through all the expenses and having, I would almost call it just ruthless evaluation of everything I have there. And vendors and ROIs and cost and just flipping over everything, right? And I think it's important for business owners to do that on some kind of regular cadence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Open up my P&L and start like you said, you guys help clients do that of just going down the P&L, just like, what's the point of this? Right?
Yeah.
Because any of those expenses need to have a purpose that allow you to actually get a return on it. Right.
Right.
And that's really how you need to evaluate that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes it's not always like one to one, especially marketing can be challenging on that because you're not going to see your ROI like right off the bat. Most cases.
You have some way to kind of track that, right? Like
exactly. Yeah. Like there's something. And so it's not necessarily a number on your P&L, but like, what your conversion rate is or how many leads have you been getting, So like all those numbers really matter a lot too. It's not always finance specific numbers or like P&L numbers. It's all the numbers in your business. And so I think the more business owners can understand that, and identify what those things are, the more successful you're going to be. Cause I mean, it does come down to metrics a little bit, where it's like, that's not all that matters, but you can learn a lot from the metrics. And kind of going back to like originally what I said about just like your mindset too, when you start treating your business as a business, you can start asking those higher level questions and like really being more critical about what you're spending on. Like, does this expense move my business forward? is this what my business needs right now? And then it kind of takes the emotion out of it because a lot of like, purpose driven, heartfelt entrepreneurs, like we want to be able to do all these things and help all these people, but it really comes down to like, is this what's best for my business? And same thing on the team member side, because I know that's something that I have definitely have had challenges with over the years as well, is like figuring that piece out. But same thing, it's like, is this what my business needs? Is this the right person for the decision?
And right that, person,
that
right
helps
seat
with it too. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And, you talk about heart driven and team members and all those things. Yes. Believe me, that's one of the hardest things for me because I do have a heart for everybody. You know what I mean? Like, I want you to be good. Right. Right. Like feed into people. And it is. It's having that ruthless evaluation. And for me, too, it's like I grew my business the first, call it 5 to 6 years, really just by myself. And I started adding team members and whatnot. And now I have to make the decisions not even based on me, but just like, hey, there's other people that are relying on this. And like your business needs to be ruthlessly operated. And by that, I mean, just like, it's like, okay, data driven and that kind of thing. Right.
Yeah.
Because it supports all of us and it supports all of our families. And like, there needs to be a justification for everything we do. Right. Like how that helps us, move things forward or make more money or maybe support causes we want or whatever, right? It's not necessarily about saving money, but there needs to be thought behind every dollar.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you personally stay motivated and just kind of resilient? There's ways, I assume you're like everybody, right? Days and weeks where you're just like, man, this sucks. Just all the different stress. No, believe me, I have days like that. Not all the time, but from time to time.
For sure.
How does Megan stay resilient in business and just kind of dealing with all the challenges that you face?
Yeah, I think really it's going back to my why, also like thinking about all of the pros that my business has provided for me. is sometimes really helpful, because sometimes, you know, you kind of get in a rut, or, you know, something happens. And I know for me, like, I'm highly critical of myself, which I'm working on not being, but like, so like, we've got tons of happy clients, but, you know, every once in a while, we'll have a client that's just not a good fit for us, you know, and there'll be some kind of a complaint. And I always like to, I think for the most part, I always like look at things and I'm like, okay, I don't take it personally per se, but I try to see what the lesson is, you know, if there is a lesson, where I can improve, you know, so always taking failures and making them successes, or like areas to improve on. So taking that, but sometimes that it, you know, I'll get highly critical of myself and be like, oh, well, maybe I shouldn't even be doing this, you know, like I just suck, you know, kind of a thing. And so what's helpful is really having like people around you that you can also like have to like vent with, or throw that back and be like, no, Megan, like, you know, you got to get out of your head, kind of a thing.
That's amazing, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so that's really helpful. Looking at the pros of, you know, like the flexibility that I have with my kids, my ability, like I do work a lot. I always tell people like owning a business is the most I've ever worked in my life. But at the same time, like, I can't imagine working for somebody else, because if I need to take a day off, or, you know, something's off, or something comes up, like we've had that a lot in the past. We got COVID in 2021, me and my parents really bad, and I was out for 3 weeks, but like everything kept going, you know, and then I had to move, you know, across the country with my kids, and took time off. My one son ended up in the hospital one time where we were there for a week, you know, and it was just like all these like personal things that have come up, or family things that have come up. And I've been able to be really flexible because of my business, and I don't have to worry about PTO or, you know, whatever else, like reporting to somebody else. And that for me is just like really priceless, especially as a single, you know, solo mom now. Like having flexibility like that is something I absolutely need to have, you know. So like, that's one thing. What's my why? It's my family. And then, you know, to helping other people be able to build that for themselves and their families as well. And then, like you said, it really is my team now too. Like at a certain point, it was like, well, I can't go back anymore, because we're already at this level. It's like, we just got to keep going forward, you know, kind of a thing. Yeah. So it's like reminding myself in some ways, I kind of don't have a choice but to keep going, you know, like.
And that's a great motivator.
Yeah. And that's a great, it's like, okay, well, this is where we're at. Like, I have to figure this out. Like, you got to just keep going. And I think that's where that grit comes in, is like, you really just have to make a decision. And that's what I tell our clients too, with people I work with at different levels, because not everybody's meant to be a business owner or meant to be a business owner forever. Right. And I'm real transparent with our clients when we talk about that, you know, and sometimes they'll be struggling the same way. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, you have to think about, is this what you really want? Do you really want your business, or are you okay with letting it go? But if you're not, and you really want this business, you just got to make a decision that you're going to figure this out, you know, that you're going to keep going, and we're going to make adjustments, and we're going to keep testing what's working, what's not working, so that you can keep going forward. And that's kind of the same thing that I just tell myself. It's like, this is where I'm at. This is the life I've chosen. It comes with ups and downs, and sometimes the downs are real low, but at the same time, like, I know where I'm trying to go. And if I keep going and keep pushing and just are determined to like keep going, I'm going to get there, because grit is like a huge part of that process.
Well, yeah. Nothing will stay in front of something that's relentless. Like,
exactly.
Can't be stopped. Like, favorite quote of mine was Kobe Bryant, one of my favorite basketball players of all time, but he has a famous quote that says, "Booze don't block dunks." Meaning, like, you can be so good at something that people can absolutely be cheering against you as hard as possible, and you can still just do it, and they can't stop.
Right.
So, like, Kobe Bryant, like,
that's a good one.
You know, people were paid hundreds of millions of dollars to play defense on that guy to keep him from scoring basketballs. And so, meaning, like, you know, despite people spending hundreds of millions of dollars actively trying to stop him.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times the only thing that is stopping us is ourselves, right?
Yeah. So it's just sabotaging ourselves.
Yeah. It's like, you know, that. So that's probably the other thing that's really helped this last year is Just really focusing on taking care of myself too, you know, making sure I'm getting enough sleep, making sure I'm eating well, making sure I'm moving, you know, like if I'm my best self, or, you know, trying to be my best self, then I can be, yeah, then I am there and I'm enough for like everybody else, you know, and that's important to recognize too, especially, for us that have lots of hats and, you know, we're doing a lot of things and, our parents, especially I think too, you know, like we've got a lot of extra demands because of our kids. So if you're not taking care of yourself, it's going to be really hard to show up for everybody else. And that's a big motivator for me too. It's just like, I have to show up because I've got so many people relying on me.
Megan, you're speaking my language. It's a great motivator knowing that mm-hmm. I have all these people counting on me. You know, at times it can feel like a lot, right? But at the same time, it forces me to be, like I said, the better version of me, whether that's like bed earlier, getting up earlier, working out, you know, all those things. Yeah, it just forces me to be a better version of myself.
Yeah. And it's definitely uncomfortable, right? So it's real,
oh my gosh,
it's uncomfortable.
Yeah,
I think learning to
embrace that. There's not a day where I'm not.
Yeah, right. It's not uncomfortable. It's just like, okay.
And I think it's leaning into hard things like that or uncomfortable things.
Yeah.
Like just as a general philosophy in life. Like it's, you know, it's amazing. Like when I first did a podcast episode here, I was very uncomfortable. Right? Yeah. And now I'm not. And the reason I'm not is because I've just been exposed to it over and over again. Right.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. People don't realize that it's just really like experience. And then all of a sudden something isn't this big anxious thing anymore. You're extremely adaptable. You know, you can figure anything out and then it becomes normal to you pretty quick. Like humans can adapt to a new situation almost like, you know, very fast. So it's leaning into hard things. So Megan, I appreciate this conversation. You've been fantastic. Like what is the best way people can learn more about you, Sidekick Accounting, and just kind of everything you guys do and how you help people?
Yeah, so you can go to chatwithmeg.com. That'll take you to our website. And then I'm also on all the socials, which I think are linked on the website as well. But I'm on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram. And yeah, I'd love to connect with anybody. I have a Facebook group too. It's called Your Accounting Sidekick. And I do education and tips and things in there as well. So
very cool. Yeah, absolutely, guys. You know, if you don't have your numbers in a good position there, reach out to Megan. She can really get you guys in good shape and get you fixed up to where finances don't have to be a stress in your life. You got to look at it to figure it out first, though.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Or scary. We help it to not be so scary.
Yeah. Well, you at least make, you know, it's scary unknown. If you actually don't take a look at it, well, then you can attack it in whatever way makes the most sense. But
avoidance isn't going to help.
Well, Megan, I appreciate you. Anything you want to leave for the listeners before we sign off?
Yeah, just that, you know, you, like I said, you got to just decide on what you want out of your business, you know, whether that's to keep going or stay solo. But I think having that kind of idea helps you to how to plan backwards, you know, so start with whatever yours. And there's ways, there's people, me, Peyton, you know, people like us that can help you along your journey. So don't be afraid to ask for help. I think that's a big part of success is knowing when you need some expertise and bringing that in and trusting, you know, that it takes many people to grow a successful business. So.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, lean in. Don't be afraid to ask for help.
Exactly.
Which is
no such thing as a dumb question.
Know what you're building or what you want to build. And then like Megan says, that you can back into what you need to do today.
Yes.
And that's kind of the whole point. Put big goals far out there and chunk it down into
it. Exactly. Yep, for sure.
Megan, I appreciate you. Listeners, we'll
catch
you
next time.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If you found it valuable, please rate, review, and share it. That is the best way to help us build this and reach more people. As we're trying to accomplish our goal of help creating more healthy, wealthy, and wise entrepreneurs. You can follow us on social media by searching for me, Peyton Squires, or going to PeytonSquires.com. On the website and social media, we're always sharing tips of personal growth, and there we can actually interact. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.